I love a man who's excited about leading singing there, Dan. Appreciate you very much. This is a special church family. I think we would all agree with that. Amen. You know, you think about what God has done here in Fulshear. Understand that we could not even participate, be a part of, or enjoy the blessings of what God has accomplished here in Fulshear had He not first given His Son. The fact that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have eternal life, is essential to our faith. It's essential to who we are. It's essential to our church family. But again, it takes us back beyond this moment in time, the experiences that we're enjoying, to the cross, to Calvary, where there God purchased our salvation. He established His church. I want you to understand, we're going to talk a little bit about giving today. And I want you to understand that the church is built on the premise of giving. And I think that we see that over and over and over in Scripture. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 20, you might remember there in His farewell address to those elders from Ephesus, you remember He starts to talk about the Lord and the importance of Jesus in His church. As a matter of fact, in verse 27, He says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel or the whole cause of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God." Now listen. "Which He purchased with His own blood." You see, the church is built on the foundation of giving. You look at a few verses following in verse 35 in Acts chapter 20, where Paul says, and he credits these words to Jesus. Now, understand, we don't have these words recorded in the gospel, but we do believe they came from Jesus Christ. And he quotes Jesus as having said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And again, that comes off of the heels of verse 28, where Jesus gave His own blood. And then verse 27, that He didn't hold back anything but declared the whole counsel of God. The church is built on the foundation of giving and sacrifice. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, you might remember there in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4 and following, "Coming to Him as living stones, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house." That also includes you and me as well, not just to the people that Peter was writing to. "A holy priesthood," that's who we are. We don't need a priest. We have Jesus, our high priest. We collectively together are a priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We know that we are here to worship in spirit and in truth, and we offer our worship as a spiritual sacrifice to God according to His will and way. In verse 6, there is also contained in the Scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense." Let me just say for a moment, please understand the importance of the church and how this place was built on the premise of giving, on Jesus giving Himself, on God laying the cornerstone, laying the foundation on the word of the apostles and prophets. We have that good word recorded in the Scriptures that we have today. Did you know that we were in a building program? Anyone? Have you been by to see it? Foundation's been laid. Walls have been put up. I don't know if you've seen it recently, but along the fellowship side, the fellowship room, and on around the back part of the auditorium, coming around. They're actually, I think, working today. They worked yesterday laying brick, and they're going to be coming around to that education wing side on the east, putting the brick up. But you can see, if you go back there, you can see the shingles, you can see the new brick, you can see the block at the bottom, and it looks great. How many of you think it looks great? You've been by there, you've seen it, you think it looks great. It's awesome. We're in a building program. You know, one of the things I would say is, as excited as we are about that, we're going to be that city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We, you and me, personally, collectively, are the church of Christ. Now, we will meet in that building. And that building will be important for us, for fellowship, and for all of the exciting times that are before us. We'll preach the gospel out of that building. People will come to know Jesus Christ and be saved in that building. It's going to be a tool that will be used to bless the city of Fulshear and to bless our spiritual church family. And I'm excited. But I don't want us to forget that as the church was established on giving, it must continue on the premise of giving. Now, I don't talk about giving a lot from this pulpit. But it's not because it's not important. I think there is a stigma with churches, with religion in general, a stigma that people have about churches just want money. That's all they're preaching, you know, health and wealth, and if you give, you'll be blessed. And I want to tell you, you may very well give, and you may suffer some difficulties, some stresses, some discouragements in life. But as much as there is a stigma, we must talk about it. We must talk about the importance of giving, to reassess where we are individually as a part of this body and where we are collectively as a body of Christ in our giving. And so let's think for just a few moments. I'll not take a long time this morning because I know that we've got some communication coming after this. And I'll pick this up in a few weeks. We'll talk about this some more. But I want us to think about giving for just a few moments. Someone said no one has ever become poor by giving. And I think there's some truth to that. As a matter of fact, another person, you might know Ben Carson. How many of you have heard of Ben Carson? Yeah. Great guy, great individual. He said, happiness doesn't result from what we get, but from what we give. And I believe there's some truth in that. It was John D. Rockefeller who said, think of giving not as duty, but it's privilege. You know, some people look, I have to give my money when I... No, God allows you to make a free will decision to give what you choose. And to give in whatever way you choose. It's your decision, right? It should be given out of privilege, out of love. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ controls us, or it compels us. Literally, it moves us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all have died. Well, we have died through Jesus Christ, but we've also been given life through the forgiveness that is offered at Calvary. And that love should motivate us and compel us, encourage us to be good givers. And so let's talk about giving this morning. Do you realize there are 2,350 passages, if this is correct, and I'm assuming that it is, 2,350 passages in the Bible dealing with money and material possessions, more than on any other subject, but it's the least talked about subject in the church. And I just mentioned that a moment ago. And the church has been silent for so long that people don't understand the responsibilities that undergird a generous lifestyle, that forget that the church was built on the premise of giving. You might remember what our Lord said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I want you to think about this, number one. Number one, a person that never gives never fully receives. You remember in that passage in Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to what? To give than to receive. You know, had Jesus not given, there would be none of us would be able to receive the blessing of salvation, the blessing of the church, our spiritual family, the blessing of all that comes in Christ, Ephesians 1. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I know some might look at it and say, yeah, but what I've received from Christ is amazing, but had He not given it, we wouldn't be able to receive it. A person that never gives, never fully receives. If we are going to follow the example of our generous, giving Savior, then guess what? We are going to be a people who will be generous and giving. I want to tell you, we live in our little corner, our little neck of the woods right here in Fulcher, Texas. We are blessed in so many ways. Wouldn't you agree? We talk often about the financial blessings of this little area that we live in, and we talk about the blessings that have been given generously by you, the members of this church. In our last contribution, special contribution, a couple of weeks ago, on that Sunday morning, as a regular contribution, $10,000 were given. I don't know the exact number. Around 10,000 in our regular contribution. 18,000 was given as a special contribution. $28,000 given in one Sunday. I want to tell you, that's amazing. And I'm so proud of this church family for understanding that we are built on a premise of giving. That our Lord gave, and that we need to be a people who are willing to give. But if we're not, we will not receive. A person that never gives, you might receive much in this life, and you might receive, materialistic things in this life, but you will not receive the one thing that you and I need the most, and that's forgiveness. God wants us to be givers. As a matter of fact, what does He say? For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You want to talk about things that God loves, that He specifically says He loves in life? That's one of them. You know, again, God blesses us generally every day anyway. He makes His sun to rise and fall on the just and on the unjust. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And there's general blessings, but that might be all the blessings that one gets in this life if they're not good givers. And as a matter of fact, that passage in Luke chapter 6, really the context, the broader context, is talking about forgiveness. Yeah, we need to be good in giving, and I'm referring to a financial contribution there, but we also must be good in giving forgiveness. And I'm afraid at times we fail miserably. And that passage in Luke 6 is really talking about offering forgiveness. If we're not willing to give it, then we're not going to receive it. You remember the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we what? Forgive our debtors. That if we're not willing to do that, He's not willing to do that. You might remember Philippians 2 verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, we have the privilege of being able to do things God's way. What a blessing it is that He gives us in His Word, a way to do things His way, a way to give, a way to share what's been given, a way to function as a spiritual family. God has laid the foundation in Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. The Word that He has given is the foundation that we must stand on. You know, not long ago we had our stud signing. You know, I thought it would have been cool to be able to also write scriptures on the concrete floor. That way we could be standing on the Word of God as well. But we are supported with the pillar and ground of truth. We wrote scriptures on those studs. And I want you to think about how important it is that we do things God's way. That we give in the way that He wants us to give, and that as a result we will be able to receive the blessings that He has in store for us, if not in this life, certainly eternally. And I want you to think about how we have to do things His way. You know, one thing I'm not going to let you do I don't know if you realize this. I'm not going to let you walk into my house and rearrange my furniture and put pillows where you want them and hang stuff the way you want it and put your pictures all over my walls. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm just not going to let you do it. And you know what? You're not going to let me do it either. We can't just walk in and arrange stuff the way that we want to do it. And to our liking. That's true in the church. We can't walk into the house of the Lord and do things the way that we want to do them and hang things in the places we want to hang them and be able to put down the rules and regulations that we want. That's not how it works in the kingdom. The way it works in the kingdom is we follow His will, we follow His way. Again, it's built on a premise of giving, but understand that if God gave so much in the beginning, then He must be concerned how this thing functions, how it works, how it's organized, and what happens and what is done in His church. Our Lord said, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," Matthew 16. Understand that it's built on the premise of giving and that God's concerned with how we do life in church. But we must be willing to give. That's part of how He wants us to do it. This, as Robbie put it a moment ago, the church in prayer, the church moves forward, the kingdom moves forward based on giving. God wants us to support the Lord and His work and all that's being done in the church. And I hope that you, as a member of this church, with all the excitement that we have going on right now, are a good, good giver. The Lord's depending on you, and He's depending on me to give. And there's a lot of ways we give. We give financially. We give good works. We do good things to help those, not only in this body of faith, but for non-believers as well. We do good to all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith. God wants us to function as a family. You know, the beautiful thing about this morning is that every time we stand up and we share and we sing and we come together as a church to worship, we're always going to offer an invitation for you to receive what Jesus has freely given at Calvary. That's the amazing grace that He offered through the blood that was shed there, the body that was given as an eternal sacrifice for you and me. So if you need to respond this morning to the grace of God, you need to become a child of God by being immersed in the waters of baptism to have your sins washed away, then we encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.